Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're going to finish a series today called Traveling Light. And the big idea of this series has been, you know, as we go into the new year, if there's some stuff we're carrying with us, let's get rid of that stuff so we can try to go into the new year traveling light and become all that God has for us to become. How many of you guys believe God has great things in store for all of your lives? I believe that. How many of you believe that? I believe our best days are ahead. I believe the best days for your marriage. I believe the best days for some of you singles is ahead. And some of you are like, yeah, I can see that knight in shining armor who's walking right now. Lord showed me in a dream. Make sure it's a dream, not a nightmare, okay? Next week we're going to launch a new series called Holy Habits. Say Holy Habits. You know, we put these two series together as I kind of pray and I kind of look out several months ahead of time on series. And I knew that there's a new season for True North Church. In fact, we had a gentleman come in a few months ago and kind of share over our staff, and he said it's a season of crossing over. It's a season of new land, new territory, a new season, and so I've been reading the book of Joshua, and it's kind of interesting. But the book of Joshua, God's people had been kind of marching around in circles for a while. For 40 years, they kind of went around a mountain for 40 years, and people say they walked around a mountain for 40 years. They didn't walk around a mountain for 40 years. They walked around it once, and repeated the same experience 40 times. How many of you guys have ever done that? But there's a phrase, you know, they're about ready to cross over into the promised land God has for them. And God, through Joshua, says, consecrate yourself today. In other words, there's some stuff to travel light. Get rid of some baggage because tomorrow you're going into a new land. And so how many believe that? I don't know what your 2019 was like. I'm not in all of your homes. I'm not in all of your lives in an intimate setting and to understand the nuances of your life and decisions. But I know this. There's probably some things in 2019 you can't wait to close the door on. And I'm one of these guys that a glass is half full. It's not half empty. You know, unless it's coffee, then it's half empty. It needs to be filled up. But I believe our best days are ahead, and but I believe this, that today, I believe it's a prophetic message for some of you in that there's some periods you have to put in your life. In fact, I don't like grammar, but I know that in order to start a new sentence or a new paragraph or a new chapter, you have to put a period on the last sentence of the last chapter, right? And there are some things in your life this year. I hope today some of you put a period on some things because there's a new chapter God wants to write. Maybe divorce happened this year. Maybe there's betrayal in your home or your marriage or your there's some things that happened in your family or your kids, or there's some choices and decisions you made that were maybe there were just wisdom issues and there you made some unwise financial decisions, or maybe there were some sin issues you did this year that you regret. Let's put a period at the end of 2019, because I believe God has a new chapter to write in 2020. How many believe that? And so we're going to close today talking about letting go of our past. But I'm anticipating 2020 is incredible. And so I'm going to, when we talk about encounter prayer and fasting, 21 days of prayer and fasting, please pick up the prayer guide. Please begin to pray. If you want to pray like you've never prayed, you have to pray like you've never prayed. If you want to worship like you've never worshiped, you got to worship like you've never worshiped. Next week, we'll talk about holy habits, and we'll launch, and our app will have a Bible reading plan on our app. Download our app and the prayer guide. We want you to begin to establish some new habits in your life. How many want to know there's good habits to establish? And there's some bad habits to kick. And so today, we're going to talk about letting go of the past, and we're closing the door on 2019. We're heading to 2020. And although we can't change our past, God can change our future. And many of you have heard me say this before. It's never too late to begin again. You've also heard me say, if this wall represents my past and that wall represents my future, if I stare at my past, I've got my back to my future. And so as we talk about this, our past, here's the challenge with our past, is it might be in the past, but there's someone called the devil who loves to bring our past up. In fact, the Bible, one of the descriptions that God uses to describe the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses. He loves to drag things up. How many of you guys have ever dealt, you thought you're dealt with your past, but then there's this little whisper in the ear. And the devil says, remember when you did that? Ever anyone, or am I the only guy that ever hears things that I shouldn't like, that I don't like to hear? The past, and that's our choices or wisdom, and maybe it's the words you said that you can't get back, and you think, I wished I never would have said those. Perhaps it's a reoccurring sin that keeps cropping up. Maybe it's time for some of you to get it, to jump into or dive into Living Free, our ministry on Thursdays here at our church for those that have, you know, eating disorders or cyclical patterns of choices or sins in your life that you want to break. That's your past, but it keeps cropping up. And it's like, I thought I dealt with that weed, but it keeps coming up. And so what we want to talk today is how do we close the door on that? I want to kind of talk about this by talking about Peter. I love Peter. Peter reminds me a lot of myself. You ever met someone in the Bible, you read the Bible and think, you know, Peter's got some really good moments, and Peter's got some moments like, that was stupid. But here's the win of this all. We won't talk about Peter, but Peter was used by God mightily, even though Peter did some really bad choices. And Peter, we know, is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asks him, he and John, a couple disciples go with him, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and Jesus says, watch with me. And Jesus says, the Bible says he goes a little farther, and he comes back, and they're asleep. And he wakes them up and says, can't you watch with me? Pray with me. And so he wakes them up, and then he goes back. Jesus goes a little farther and comes back, has to wake him up a second time. Says, come on, guys, watch with me. Pray with me. Can't you watch? And then what happens? Jesus goes away again, comes back. The third time, what happens? The third time, he wakes them up again. And then Jesus is arrested. And after the arrest, what happens? It says that Peter followed Jesus at a distance, and he's warming himself by the fire, and a servant girl comes up to Peter and says, Peter, you were with Jesus, weren't you? And he goes, I denies it. Then a soldier looks over and says, no, you were there. I was there in the garden. You were there. And Peter goes, I don't know. You've got me confused with my doppelganger. It's not me. Then a servant girl, 13-year-old servant girl, comes up and says, you were there. And if you read the Greek, literally, it almost sounds like the language is, he emphatically denies it. No, I never was there. And very, very, almost in an angry voice, if you read the original language. And this is what, we're gonna read a verse at the end of this dialogue where he denies Jesus, what, how many times? Three times. Now, I want to pause here for a second. And the reason why I really want to encourage the week of prayer and fasting is this. I'm convinced, I was studying this passage one time, and I was teaching about, you know, people when they turn their back on Jesus, or they deny Christ with their life, and the Holy Spirit dropped a nugget in my heart. I don't know if God can drop a nugget in your heart. A thought in my mind. How's that? And the thought was this. Long before Peter ever denied Jesus publicly, he denied Jesus privately. Can't you watch with me an hour? And church, here's my challenge or my admonition to you is this. If some of you have had a hard time living for Jesus in the public life, it probably goes back to something that needs to change in the private life. There's something deeper on the inside. And why not take the first part of 2020 and say, God, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to learn about prayer. I'm going to show up for prayer. And some of you might be like, I don't know much about prayer. Well, then read about it. I don't know how to pray. Well, then come watch other people know how. You know how I learned how to pray? Watching Dr. Jones at Bible College go, and he'd get on his knee, he'd begin to pray. And so sometimes one of my staff members says, man, you always pray like that thing. Like, I guess I'm praying like Dr. Jones prays. But I hung around people who knew how to pray, and that's how I learned how to pray. We always tell people on Counter Night, bring your kids with you. Let them stand in the row with you. Let them watch you worship. Let them watch you pray. How'd your kids learn how to talk? By watching you learn talk. How are they going to learn how to pray? By watching you pray. So Peter had just denied Christ publicly 3 times. And I love what Luke captures this moment. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. And he says, at that moment, at the very moment that he denied and almost cursed at a girl. So I don't know. I'd never known him. I don't know what you're talking. It says this. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. How many of you would like to be there? Where your eyes lock eyes. You ever locked eyes with someone when you realized, oh no, I was just caught? Ever been there? You ever locked eyes with someone and you realized that you disappointed them deeply? And we know God forgives, but it says this. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me 3 times that you ever knew me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Traveling light. Maybe you have a moment in your life, you look back and think, man, and how do you know God sees all? God's everywhere. And you live with some of those moments, and the enemy loves to remind you. And there's three things the enemy says about your past. And every one of us has a past if we've lived long enough to be alive for a couple of hours. We have a past. Number one, you're unforgivable. Number two, you're unlovable. Number three, you're useless. You're unforgivable, you're unlovable, you're useless. I'm going to be vulnerable for a moment. I don't have, I was blessed. I never, in high school, I didn't do the things other people did. I wasn't even invited to a party. I guess I was too big of a nerd to be invited to a party. And I never dated. My dad always said my boys were boring because we never dated until we dated the girl we married. Well, I got to Bible college, and it was my senior year, and my junior year, and everyone's getting married, because in Bible college, they have this joke, ring by spring or tuition back. I was in Bible college, and I graduated single. I was one of 4 guys that graduated single. And then I married a woman who went to an all-blind school. Because my wife went to Northwest University and she graduated single, which means she must have been, a whole bunch of blind people went to that school because my wife is gorgeous, okay? God saved her for me. And she didn't go to an all-blind school for some of you, okay? It's just, I mean, like, so, some of you are like, really? But in my junior year, I started dating a gal. And I actually was proposed to her. I was engaged to get married to her, and she's a sweet gal and great woman today probably, but there's just that little check, that little thing on the inside that says, Mark, I just don't. So I broke off an engagement, and I didn't date people for like 4 years because the first thing I thought was like, who's ever gonna want it? All the devil told me was, Mark, who's going to want someone who broke off an engagement? Because they'll just break off a marriage someday. If you can break it off here. And I felt unlovable. I felt whatever. And I hadn't done any grave sins. I just broke off an engagement. But it's amazing how the devil grabs a hold of something in someone's life and attaches to that these thoughts that you're unforgivable, you're unlovable. You know, if people really knew what you did, no one would love you. I wonder if anyone in here has ever thought that thought. Or maybe you've struggled with a certain decision in the past that you made and thought, man, I'm useless. Anyone, maybe you're here and think, you know, if the people in the church really knew what my past was like, I bet they'd never let me serve. So I better not even volunteer. I better not be a part of a life group. Because if I'm part of a life group and someone really gets to know me, they really won't like me if they get to know me. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. If you're here at True North and you honestly think that we won't like you if we know you, you're robbing us of getting to know someone pretty incredible called you. Because guess what? All of us at True North are flawed. All of us have done things wrong. All of us have sinned. All of us have made really unwise choices at different times that land us in certain positions. And the devil would love to maximize that, isolate you. Because if he could isolate you and make you feel unloved and unuseful, and you can't, God will never use. How many want to know some of the most powerful people in the kingdom of God are people that have pasts that God has redeemed the greatest? So here's Peter. He locked eyes with Jesus, and he's probably thinking. And the devil comes in and says, God could never forgive you. Can you believe? He told you deny him before a rooster crowed. And what rooster reminds you of your choices you've made? So the problem is this. If you can't let go of your past, you can't take hold of your future. And so today we want to talk about how do we let go of our past? Because if we can't let go of our past, so the problem is your past can be a guidepost or a hitching post. Is it going to become your hitching post or your guidepost? Is it something that's going to steer you, or is it something going to keep, are you going to be hitched to your past and you just walk around in a circle because you're hitched to it? Jesus comes to us when we need him the most. How many know that? If you're here today and you're like, man, I feel like I'm that. And there's some of you in here, like right now you feel like, nah, this is not me. But you'll need this maybe for a loved one or a son or a daughter or a friend or a coworker. When perhaps you don't feel like, man, am I valuable to God? But the disciples, Peter went back to fishing. Jesus is crucified, and from my reading of the Gospels, I don't see any conversation where Peter had a chance to ever go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I dropped the ball. I know that he went out and wept bitterly. Judas went out and hung himself. And how many want to know when you betray or you do things that betray who you are to your master, it either drives you to bitterness or it drives you to make sometimes choices or whatever. But Jesus, he comes right back into Peter's life. Comes right back to the disciples. They're fishing. It's what they knew how to do. And it says, and again, there's no conversation recorded. And it says this in John chapter 21. Let's go there together this morning. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you, then feed my lambs. Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? I want to pause here. It says, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him a third time. Peter was hurt. It's almost like Peter's going, like, well, I said I'd feed your sheep. You asked me a question again, I said I'd feed my sheep. But the third time, this is really hurtful to me now, Jesus. How many of us know, and I want to point this out about Jesus. He asked Jesus three times. It hurt Peter. But Jesus, look at me, friends, is more concerned with your lasting healing than your short-term feelings. Because after John tells us he was hurt, the Lord said, you know everything. You know that I love you, Jesus. And then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What's he coming back to him about? I'm coming back to your calling. You're fishing. You went back to your default, but I've called you to something more than that. And it didn't change because you made a choice and you did not. The calling didn't change. The destiny I had for your life is bigger than what you went back to over here that I called you away from. But how many people give up on their calling and destiny because of their past? And sometimes you have to walk through maybe a little bit of healing and get past some hurt. Because if you can get past the hurt, I believe this. I believe that when you have hurt in your life, that Jesus wants to wash that wound so it can heal. Look at me. Some of us in here, we can't get past the hurt, so we paralyze and we don't do anything. But Jesus might want to start to dig up some areas and pull the Band-Aid off and begin to heal. How many of you guys believe God wants to heal all of us? But sometimes that means Jesus might come back and he might have to ask some difficult questions. He might have to ask some things and it might hurt a little bit. But how many want to know hurt's good? There's a book Samuel Chan wrote a year or two ago called Leadership Pain. And it talked about the role of pain in life. And he used the illustration about leprosy. Did you realize that the problem with leprosy is that your nerve endings become numb so you don't feel pain anymore? And so because of that, you could touch a stove and not feel it. And then damage your hands, or because you can't feel. There's no pain. Pain is actually a good thing because pain drives us to do what? Hopefully, it drives us to get help. And there can't be healing without revealing. Why am I talking about this? I hope that you would take the next few days, or commit to prayer and fasting for the first 21 from next Sunday on through those 3 weeks and the encounter nights that we have, and you'd go through the prayer guide. In the end, there's a place for you to pray, and maybe you'd start looking at some different areas that you go, you know, I want to deal with these roadblocks. The past keeps kind of cropping up, the default keeps coming back. What is it? And maybe find some people to have conversations with that could help you. So I want to just quickly share as we close, how do we get past our past? Number one, you have to close the door on your past. And we know this. But here's what you have to understand. You can't change the past. It's yesterday. It's history. You can't change the past. But so you have to accept that God's grace is bigger than your past. How many of you believe that? How many are thankful that God's grace is bigger than your past? And so you have to close the door on your past. And so in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. What does that mean? That means there's nothing any of us could ever do, have ever done, or ever will do that God cannot or will not forgive if we confess our sins. The Bible says he's faithful and just. That's the character of God we're talking about. He will forgive us of those sins. Anyone thankful? I'm thankful for that. Because I know I've sinned in the past and he's forgiven me. And I have a feeling, because I'm human, I'll sin again. You're supposed to amen when I say that, Heidi, because you know me better than anybody. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, you are no longer a slave to God, but God's own child, and since you're his child, God made you his heir. There's something called grace that says, you know, I'm no longer a slave to my sin. I'm no longer a slave to that lifestyle. I'm not a slave to my past. I am a son of God. And because I'm his son, I'm his heir. And then it says this in 1 John, but to all who believe in him and are accepted, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but birth that comes from God. In other words, you're not what you've done. You're who God says you are. You are who God says you are. You're forgiven and you're a child of God. And so you close the door on your past. You say, God, forgive me. And number two, you step into your future. Again, your past can be a guidepost or a hitching post. Cut the chains. I think of Jacqueline. I don't have time to share the whole story, but Jack, I it was years ago, probably 15 years ago now, as youth pastor in Las Vegas, of all places, and we had probably 500 kids in our youth ministry at that time in this auditorium, and I'm preaching, I remember I was preaching a sermon series called Victim Hooked on Your Pain. I was preaching about Jonah, and I was preaching about it doesn't matter what I was preaching, but I was preaching about your victim hooked on your pain, and I remember giving an altar call that day. And there's this lady, this girl, I'd never seen her. She's about 20 years old. We had a junior high through college age, young adult ministry all at one time. This girl came up, and she was college age. And I went up to her. I said, what's your name? She said, well, it's Jacqueline. I said, hi, Jacqueline. And as I'm praying for her, I get a picture in my mind. And it was a picture, God just showed me a picture of her in a white dress. It was weird, but I saw it. And then I heard this little thought in my head that said, tell her to put a white dress on and dance for me. I'm thinking, like, this is weird, but I know God's voice well enough to know he gave me a picture, and he spoke to me through a thought, a random thought that wouldn't normally come to my mind. I don't walk up and say, hey, the Lord said, put a white dress on, dance for him. So I went to Jacqueline and said, we're live streaming. I got to be up here. Sorry, cameras. And I looked at Jacqueline, and I said, Jacqueline, this doesn't make sense to me, but I feel like the Holy Spirit told me to tell you to put a white dress on and dance for him. And she begins to cry. And I'm like, oh, snap. Estrogen has taken over. And I don't know what I... And so I got one of my lady leaders over there. I think it was my wife at the time. Someone else leading worship. And I go over and I start praying for the guys. Because I get guys. They're from Mars or Venus or whatever that the other people aren't from. And 5-6 minutes later, maybe 10 minutes later, it goes by. And my wife says, come here. And I go to Jacqueline. And she says, Jacqueline has something to say. Share it with you. I said, what's that, Jacqueline? She says, 4 years ago, you weren't here. I used to lead worship at this youth group. And I was a junior, senior in high school. And I was set to go to prom. My dad was a big land developer. And my boyfriend, who I dated for years, we were pure. And he was at church too. And was set to pick me up, and my parents had a dinner date. He was late to come, and so they said, honey, we're going down the street to a restaurant. It's a big, big deal. We're working with real estate, and our phones will be off, but we'll give you a call afterwards. We'll see how you're doing. And parents left. 5 minutes later, she gets a call from her boyfriend saying, I'm not coming. Why? Boyfriend went with Jacqueline's best friend to prom instead. And Jacqueline had a white dress on. Mom had did her hair, and she'd been dancing in front of the mirror until she got the call from her boyfriend, and she was so hurt and so bitter. She said, I took my white dress on. She said, I went out that night to get back at my boyfriend, lost my virginity, and she says, it's been 3.5 years I've been running from God. I can't tell you all the choices I've made and all the things I've done, but if it can be done, I've done it. And she says, I haven't walked back to church because there's this thought in the back of my mind. No one will ever love you again, and God will never forgive you again. And all these thoughts, it's what happens to people. And she said, I'm sitting in church, and all I'm hearing is, Jacqueline, you'll never put a white dress on again. God can't forgive you. And when you get married someday, you can't put a white dress on either. And I've been living with that shame. And you came down to me and said, hey, I feel like God has a word for you. Put a white dress on and dance for him. And she says, at that moment, I felt a flood of forgiveness go over me. and that God could forgive me, that God could love me, that God has a plan for me. I don't know who you are today, and I know there's people that have loved Jesus for a long time that are sitting here, and there's some online, maybe you haven't known him very long, or maybe you don't know him. I got a word for you today. You can't change your past, but you can shut the door on it through forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and you can step into a future. You know what Jacqueline does now? She leads us. She leads girls in purity life groups. Look at me. It doesn't matter what your past is. God can use you. One of our top youth leaders in Las Vegas had multiple abortions. Slept around with everybody. And I think she took 100 girls at least through Kiss the Girls and Made Them Cry, a small group on purity, and helped girls because she didn't let her past keep her from her best days. When Jesus looked at Peter, you guys ever looked at a group photo? Anyone looked at a group photo? What makes the group photo good? I'll tell you what makes it good. If you look good in that, you think you look good in that group photo, it looks good. It doesn't matter I don't care if your eyes are closed, mine are open. Many of us look at the journey with Jesus from our perspective of how we look in the group photo. This story is not about Peter. This story is about the forgiving, loving God. It says, yeah, I looked you in the eyes at the time when you denied me. But you know something? I believe there could be healing. And I've got a destiny and assignment. It's called feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. In other words, your best days are ahead, Peter. I can redeem your past. I can change your past. If you're here today, I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter what yesterday was. Tomorrow can be in his hands. And there's a great plan for you. It's a great plan for you. What will 2020 be like for you? I'll tell you what it'll be like. If you don't close the door on the past, you'll bring the past and travel with your baggage into the new year. Or you can close the door on the past and say, I'm looking forward to a new year. I'm gonna develop some holy habits in my life. I'm gonna make some changes. It's never too late to dream again, love again, believe again, live again. It's never too late. You have to make the choice. Your story is not about failure, but God's victory. God can forgive. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here today. And you just feel like you failed too many times. You don't feel like God could ever use you. I want to pray over you right now. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Let people dream again. Let them love again. I feel like for a few of you, maybe you walk through divorce, and I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to just tell you and speak into your life right now. You can love again. You can move on again. Put a period here. I have a new chapter to write. Put a period. Maybe you're here and you made some poor choices with purity this year. Maybe you find yourself in a place where there's choices you've made, and now those choices have tagged along with you, and you're Lord, I pray you'd break the chains, break the attachments. Let people walk in the strength and anointing, God. I don't know what God wants to speak to you, but I believe God wants to speak over you freedom right now. God wants to speak over you right now, forgive. Love. Right now, in your own words, just say, Lord, forgive me. If there's an error you want him to forgive you, just take it to him right now. In your own words, God, I pray that as we come to you, God, as we close the door on our past, not just this last year, but our past, Lord, give us the confidence to walk in the 2020 in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.